You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock, and next is Keeping It Real with Nick Deasy. Tonight, we have special guest Erica Briggs in the studio from Rosemary Anderson High School, so stay tuned. Again, this is KBOO Portland, your community radio station.
To my final destination of death. When I'm laying the rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box. Hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops often. I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off of the Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. Proletarians and wayward sons with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun. Greeted by the scent of a bum, smelling something like beer, barf, and dung. A brother in Jabot's in the back. All alone, marinating in a pair of half-broken headphones, mumbling rhymes, same time begin to pen mine, appreciating God's design.
This is Keeping It Real with Nick Deasy, and today I'm on without a Roan. We're on with Delphine and Miss Erica from the school.
Hello.
Hey now.
Aron is out. We miss you, Aron.
Not really.
Oh, not, come on.
Yes, we do.
He got sent away.
He is going to learn to be an even better, awesome, more guy. More better teacher.
He will be a more better teacher.
Yeah. I decided to have Miss Erica on here because we've had a lot going on. And to interview her about coming out here to be a principal and everything.
All right. Sounds good.
I'm going to just get into it, honestly.
Go.
What was you doing before you was a principal?
I was writing curriculum for students in South Carolina. Sorry, I've been in South Korea too.
How old?
How old? Elementary, middle school, and high school.
Oh, so just all ages?
Yeah.
All right, that's cool. How'd you hear about this job all the way out here across the country?
Well, I'm actually originally from Oregon. I grew up here. So I needed to come back to help take care of my mom. And so I was looking for jobs, opportunities to come back out this way. So I found the job. I was looking specifically for youth with lots of hope. So I came for that.
I remember last year we had this lady and she was on a wheelchair. I don't want to touch on that because I don't want to sound rude, but she was bugging when she was in the classes. You know, they were thinking about hiring her. So I remember like the first time I met you, we talked for like 2 minutes and you had to leave. But I mean, it was cool. Like the whole interview process, how many interviews do you have to go through to actually get the job?
Let me think. I don't know. I lost count, to be honest. It was like a couple. It was a 2-day process, if I remember correctly. And there was a lot of people. I spent a lot of time with Lanya.
Who was the principal before?
Right.
Yeah. And I remember because I was teaching radio, and I don't remember Nick if you were in the class, but I was teaching radio, and it was the day we were doing interviewing skills. It was just perfect because then the students interviewed you, Erica.
Oh yes, I do remember that. Yeah. Now. Yeah, that was awesome.
And it was. I remember specifically.
It was Anita. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah.
But then also one of our student Eddie asked you the $1 million question, which was, "What is your ethnic background?" Uh-huh. And I just remember I loved your answer. So you said I will charge you a dollar for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I get asked that question all the time. It's my retirement fund. seriously.
And I think that student learned something that day about interviewing and about asking that question.
Right. It's called racial politics. You ready? Let's go. Let's talk about it.
So when you was coming, how many times did you actually have to come fly back and forth?
Oh, I just flew once. Yeah, it was just one time. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to South Carolina.
How long was you there before they called and said you got it?
I think it was within a week. Yeah.
How you have to move all the way from out there to here? Was it hard?
It was a challenge. That it was a very difficult journey. I'll tell you that for sure. With two kids, yeah, that was a long 6-7 day journey. That actually turned out to be I drove from South Carolina all the way up here. So it was a long trip. But a 4-year-old in the back and a 11-year-old. The 4-year-old had a flu. Oh my goodness, it was not okay. But we enjoyed it. There were good days and bad days. Actually, the bad days were the first 3 days that we were trying to get out of the South. And then once we got over, I guess it was about the fourth day when things smoothed out, and it was a really enjoyable trip. But because of the delays, I ended up getting out of that trip 2 weeks later. No, actually, it wasn't even 2 weeks later. It was the very, like, the next week. I got there, like, on a Friday. I started work on Monday. And so after, I didn't really get a break after that long journey to, like, process or ease into any of it.
You're like, now be principal.
All right, now go. Go be principal at an alternative school, or you're going to get cussed out on the first day, and you're going to have 2 fights within the first 2 weeks. Yeah!
There was, huh?
You don't remember that?
Nah.
Yeah, I do.
So I know people move out and, like, they do road trips and everything. What was one of your favorite spots to hit on the way here?
The Grand Canyon. That was awesome. That was definitely the only thing that, like, I've always wanted to go to the Grand Canyon, but I wanted to hang glide over the Grand Canyon. So that was the only thing missing. But my kids were there. We took a picture. It's big. It's grand. It's pretty.
It's a canyon.
It's a canyon. But it was pretty awesome. It was cool.
What was your favorite food spot to hit?
Let me see. That's a good question. I think it was when we came out of the Grand Canyon. We went to this gourmet pizza spot off of 66. You know, that's a, whatever. Anyway, that's an old road. You wouldn't know nothing about that, son.
Okay.
You don't know anything about Highway 66?
Come on, I know I'm everything from about Highway 66.
Okay, yeah. I'm like, I'm from front and I know about it. And you.
Nah, I don't know nothing.
You don't.
Okay, all right, well. Okay. It's the highway. We'll get there in school. We'll get there.
Well, being from the South, I know I watched Duck Dynasty a lot. They're in Louisiana.
Was Dynasty in Louisiana or Texas?
Louisiana?
It was Texas.
It's in Louisiana. No,
well,
it's not.
They're very close.
Because
yeah.
They're in West Monroe.
No.
Duck right. Dynasty, the show. I watch it all the time.
Old school Dynasty?
Duck Dynasty, the shows now. Oh, Uncle Cy and them?
All right. I'm thinking of an old. See, now I'm talking about my age at this point.
Yeah.
Okay, well, being from the South, I know they're eating ducks, squirrels, all that. What's the weirdest thing you've seen someone eat in the South?
Actually, I never saw anybody eat. Well, yeah, they eat duck, but they eat duck here in Oregon.
Yeah. We eat duck in France.
I've never seen somebody. I've never had duck.
It's delicious.
Okay. Yeah, they have it. I never saw anybody eat a turtle or a raccoon or anything like that.
I lived in Indiana,
but you know what?
And I've seen people do that.
The nasty stuff that I done seen was not in the South. Oh. It was my granddaddy's house.
Here in Oregon?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
You ever
he ate everything from the Ruta to the Tuta. It was all, everything nasty. I'm a vegetarian to this day.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Did you ever eat alligator?
Nope.
That's a bomb. I've had it.
I was offered it when I lived in Florida, but
why not?
Because it's alligator.
It's better than chicken.
I've never tried alligator.
Oh, you guys are slacking.
I'm a vegetarian too.
That's weird. I feel uncomfortable in here now.
Come on. Well,
in here with a bunch of hippies.
Okay.
I'm a hippie child. Get right.
I'm fine claiming being a hippie, though I did not grow up in that generation. But
cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I think it's, you know, it's important to think about what you eat, you know, and
I'll make sure that
you'll get there.
Yeah. Nah, it's just it's cool and everything. Like, so what else about coming up here when you just got thrown in? How hard was that to process?
It was interesting, and I've learned that that's my word now with the organization. Interesting. It was intense. And I think also that was more challenging just because, you know, I'm a single mom with two kids.
Right.
So,
yeah. And you had just survived a, like, two-week trip or something.
Right. Right. So it was intense. It was intense.
Had you been a principal before?
No, like a director, but because it was an after school, they don't call after school, they don't have right. after school principals. So.
Right. And so what was kind of like what you were expecting were going to be some of the positives of it and challenges, and mm-hmm. how was your vision come true on that?
I think what I was looking forward to most was engaging with the students and helping them to process their lives as it's being lived. So I would say that is held true.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, coming from a place where I had time to process and think through and come up with long-term solutions, because being a principal is so much being in the program and not on working on the program. And I had just come from a place where I had been trained the exact opposite, to work on the program and not in the program. That's what, you know, that's what my training had been up to that point. And so it was kind of like flipping it upside down for me in terms of my plan for approach. So that was what I was not expecting. You know, I was really looking forward to writing curriculum and just as a, you know, as a principal, you just can't, there's just no way. There are things that you have to focus on day to day. You know, you have to hear the stories, you have to hear all sides of the story, and then you have to make a wise judgment in terms of what is the best thing to do. And then that is followed up by another problem. I mean, being a principal is all about problem solving, critically thinking and problem solving all day long. That's it.
Nick, would you want to be a principal? Why not?
Nope.
Why not?
These kids are out of control. I see it just with the people that I'm around at school. I mean, yeah, I want to have kids one day, but they're going to not be raised like that. Like, it's kids cussing at teachers and being the rudest kids, and it's crazy to me. I couldn't be a principal. I would have got fired already.
What would have been your approach? Erica says problem solving and critical thinking.
I don't know, actually.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, it does, like, if you think about most jobs, there's, you know, and this is what I was writing about when I was in South Carolina, there's, Tony Wagner identifies seven crucial skills that we got to get into our kids. Mm-hmm. And however we got to get it into them, we need to do it. But that's what needs to happen. That's what the world is looking for in terms of life skills and career choices. That's what they're looking for. So critical thinking, problem solving, that's just one. There's collaboration. Mm-hmm. There's curiosity and imagination. Mm-hmm. Like, all there's a solid set of seven, right? And I'm doing that in this position, and you're going to have to do that in every position. Every position. You're not going to get away from it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I want to get into that, mm-hmm. right? I know we need math. I know we need science. We got, because these are all the credits that are required in order to graduate. But what I'm looking forward to is when I have the opportunity to get into curriculum that is designed to teach that content, but in such a way that we're getting at some of those skills. And I started with the plan of doing that and just haven't had a chance to get to it yet. Nick keep running up and down the hallway.
Nah, don't do me like that on the air. Make me look like a bad kid.
Right. Nick, you taking all of Erica's time.
Yeah, cool. Not me.
Of course you're not. I'm just playing.
I don't really got nothing else to ask. You got anything?
Sure. I mean, I could ask all kinds of questions. You're not curious to find out about, like, what Erica studied, or like what made her even like ever want to work with kids or youth?
What did make you want to work with kids, especially us, after you've been there like almost a,
it'll be a year, March
28th. Almost a year. Yeah. Oh, March 28th. Man, I couldn't, a year, no. What made you want to stay with us?
What made me want to stay with you?
Yeah, stay with us at that school, doing your job, knowing how stressful it was and what was putting you through.
Love, I guess. I mean, I know it's a cheeky answer, like, but like, I genuinely do care about my students. And I think what's frustrating for me is that, like, I can't, like, I'm so busy trying to work on that attitude. I can't get to like you, like, look, hi, I know I'm your principal, you're cool, I'm cool, what's going on with you today, you know? But I gotta battle all these other things. It's frustrating, but that love, just be like, okay, I'll do the battle today. Some days I don't want to do the battle. So I guarantee it, when I come in on Monday mornings, I do not want to walk in the building.
Yeah.
But it's love. It's straight. It's love for what I see in every single one of my students. Every single one.
That's cool. That's cute. That you.
I knew.
Really
I knew you were
gonna
say it. But what keeps me there?
It's cool.
Let's see. What's another reason?
Me.
Oh, okay. Is that what you needed? Yeah, you. Okay, my senior. One of my seniors about to graduate. About to walk that stage. I would love to see that. I would absolutely love to see that.
Me too. I can't wait. It's like
you need to get into class. Not up and
down. No. First of all, I'm always in class.
Always,
you guys.
In the hall.
I just because like when I'm done with work or when I'm done, I just get bored. So I'm like, oh, I want to go. I don't just want to sit there. You know, I understand.
I get it.
I think also a lot of us rely on Nick as the helper. You know, I know I ask you.
He's
often,
good in the hallway. Like,
hey,
if I'm standing there, he'll come
me?
Stand. Like, he's like my bodyguard.
Can you find me a TV? Can you find me speakers and stuff like that? So you help with a lot of that too.
Like Mauricio, I just go around the hallways, me and him.
I know.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know if you guys had that when you were young, just sitting there for hours. Like, we're there from 8:30 to 3. I know it may not seem long, but I don't like just sitting there. I've been doing this for 13 years now.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, this was exactly what I said when I was 17, right about to graduate. And that's also why I try in my classes to, like, you know, just bring a different approach. I mean, that's also why, you know, I teach, because, like, I mean, I feel like teaching is also like a gift, you know, something like you have an ability to do, you know.
I agree.
Like, you know, being a host on the radio is not something that everybody is comfortable doing or has the skill to. You know, but I think that also it's about, like, yeah, I try to share with you all also that what you feel is how I used to feel. And that for me, what I see is like an opportunity for also then young people to do something different, because I was not really able to find a way to do it differently. You know, for the next generation, all I've been able to find is actually my way into schools, so that I can talk to young people directly and learn from young people as to what you need, you know. But I think that, you know, one of the ways that that we do that is by, you know, talking to each other. And sometimes that's hard, you know?
Yeah, it's hard. And then in the principal's role, you don't really have a whole lot of time to talk, which is frustrating for me as well, because I want to develop those relationships. But the clock is ticking and there's another situation that I need to address. And it's hard. It's rough, because I feel like they have something to say and I want to offer so much more. But you know, we're a small school with small staff, and we do the best we can. And I'm immensely proud of my staff and the students. I think, I don't know what was been going on this month. Everybody must have been, there's something in the water, put it like that. But, you know, for the most part, the students are incredibly patient. You know, they come to school. The ones that come to school, they come to school regularly, and it is my hope that we make them feel safe. And if they don't, we address it. And we do hear the students' voices. And so I can say that with relative confidence. I mean, Nick, I don't know. You tell me. Tell me I'm lying. What?
You're lying.
Okay, go ahead.
What do you think should be the role of a principal? From your perspective,
I feel she's doing good. I don't know. Like, I know I usually have a lot to say about this, but now it's like when I'm put on the spot. I feel Miss Erica will try to come talk to us more and stuff. Like, I know other principals, like when I went to other schools, don't really do that. Like, she'll try to come talk to us and be cool with us. But
so, yeah. Is that significant for you that someone is trying to build a relationship with you?
Yeah.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there other things that you wish a principal could do? I mean, not just Erica, but just like, because Erica is doing what she can also as far as what she has been told is her job in leading the school, you know, but just from your student perspective, is there something that you feel the principal should do for the school?
Make it better, you know, so, like really listen to the students and try to compromise on stuff.
So create a dialogue.
Yeah.
Create a way for a dialogue to happen.
let the kids really sit down and try to, like, think of what they want to make the school better in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone sat down and really talk about it.
Cool. Would you facilitate something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, if people actually showed up and weren't just ignorant.
Yeah.
You have a list of the students that are on your mind of who you could invite to something like that? Like a leadership council?
I don't know.
I think that's a great idea.
The squad.
The squad.
The squad. Do it. Do it. You know, I bring opportunities to y'all.
Yeah.
But, you know, step up. You don't need me to lead. You're already leaders. You don't necessarily need me to do the find the opportunities for you. If that's something you want to do, do it. Step up.
All right. I'll think about it.
See? No, you could absolutely do something like that. It would be awesome. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Cool. Do we want to go to some music or you want to?
Yeah, music's cool. But first, I just want to say thank you to everybody listening because I know my friends are hitting me up like, oh, I'm listening right now.
Oh, you want people to call?
Oh, they can call in and weigh in on that or how they feel about school or anything, but I just want to say thank you to everyone that's listening because people's hitting me like, oh, I'm listening right now. I'm on right now.
That's great. Do you want to give some shout outs to the folks that are listening?
No. Because I don't want them to call me.
That is just going to be about a shout out show.
Yeah.
Erica, is there anything that you feel you want to ask from students, even from Nick directly, or, you know, anything that, you know, you feel students, you know, don't see from your perspective?
I think the question about, you know, what do you think a principal should do? I think that was a great question. I guess if you could create or design your own school, what would it look like?
I don't know. I'll get to that after the break. I really got to think about that. It's a lot that I would change.
Cool. So let's actually play music from one of the students at Rosemary Anderson High School. And I won't say his actual name. I say his stage name is Lil Sage. And the name of the track is Lost My Faith. So let's listen to that. You're listening to Keeping It Real on KBOO.
In the morning, it's a rainy day. Got a call from my boy, it was kinda strange. Told me, look at the news, man, it killed my day. Couldn't believe it, my brother has passed away. As I look up at the sky, man, it got dark. I was trying to find a light with a cold heart. All I heard was sirens and crashing cars. My body turned numb, it was really hard. I was trying to fight it, but it wouldn't go away. Man, I started crying, felt like I was losing faith. My face was all wet, like if I was in the rain. My body started shaking, like if I was getting tased. I was so lost, felt like I was in a maze. Nowadays I look, everybody trying to bang. But don't understand the pain of being stuck, man. Thinking it's about killing and fighting, geez. Knows about that hustle and how you get that money. Cause people like us grew up with nothing. Just a couple youngins tagging on the wall. Grew up to be felons, now we busting at them all. Man, it gets tiring running from the law. It's hard to get back up when all you do is fall. It's hard to get back up when all you do is fall. It's hard to get back up when all you do is fall. Mama, I'm sorry for my bad decisions. I just wish that my brother was here to listen. Cause when I found out that he passed away, I guess you could say I lost my faith. Mama, I'm sorry for my bad decisions. I just wish that my brother was here to listen. Cause when I found out that he passed away, I guess you could say I lost my faith. At the end of the day, you were still down. It's hard to say that you're gone now. But at the end of the day, you're in a better place. Now you shall rest in peace. This goes to all my brodies in prison. Don't give up, man, just keep on giving. If a sucker tries, you will let him know that you are not the show. And say, oh, niggas just doesn't know how it feels like to lose hope.
When I fell into a melting pot, I was just waiting to rot. It's a struggle to get back on your feet. You lost all your habits of trying to eat. You fell on your knees about 1,000 times. Now death has taken your life. Shootings after shootings, murders after murders. Out here in the street, that's all you ever heard of. Shootings after shootings, murders after murders. Out here in the streets, that's all you ever heard of. Busting caps at anybody that walks by. Cause he's wearing red doesn't mean he has to die. Look into the family's eyes, man, they're already crying. Look into the family's eyes, man, they're already crying. Mama, I'm sorry for my bad decisions. I just wish that my brother was here to listen. Cause when I found out that he passed away, I guess you could say I lost my faith. Mama, I'm sorry for my bad decisions. I just wish that my brother was here to listen. Cause when I found out that he passed away, I guess you could say I lost my faith. This goes out to Tony Hernandez. R.I.P. bro, long live.
You're listening to Keeping It Real. I'm Delphine, and we just finished listening to Lil Sage, Lost My Faith. And I'm here with Nick Dizzy.
Yeah.
And Erica. I just want to plug Lil Sage SoundCloud. So on SoundCloud, you can look either for Lil Sage, or you can go to soundcloud.com/D'Angelo-Ramirez. So it's D'Angelo-Ramirez. Ramirez. That was Lil Sage. Lost My Faith. That's one of our students.
I know.
I love it. This is my favorite song, my new favorite song.
I texted him the other day. We're going to get an interview with him. It'll probably be on the 28th because that's our next show.
Yeah, next show. Lil Sage will be on. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So did you get to think about that question? What would be like your perfect school, your dream school?
Yeah, it would be something like what we have now, other than it would be more one-on-one. I mean, I'll probably bring in like one teacher for every 7 to 8 students, maybe 10. But it's the fact that more one-on-one is going to do better. Like, I remember I was the first student, the first high school student at POIC. Well, the New Columbia. We was in one room together. It was like the GED students and then me. And I was the first one doing high school. And I was just down there with two teachers. And Kiki was there too. Me and Kiki's the only ones who's really still there from when it started. And so, I mean, I was getting one-on-one the whole day. You know, I was there four or five hours, just me. And so it would be more one-on-one and more. Like, kids don't just gotta sit down the whole time. We could, like, walk around the class and stuff or chill.
I like that. Oh, my mic was off. I like that. I'll come to your school. Can I be a student at your school?
See, I want to go to a school where you can play.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to do. I want to go play. Like, I think school should be fun. I think learning should be fun. I think you should enjoy it. I'm actually kind of sad because I'm watching my daughter in middle school.
Right.
You know, she's now, it's all about the grades, and there mm-hmm. she, like, the joy of learning is just slowly seeping out, and it's sad. School, it's really sad.
School's just about passing now, honestly. Yeah. It's not even learning.
Yeah,
I can say that.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm really frustrated with our current educational system, and even more concerned moving forward as we look ahead to see, as we see who our new leaders are going to be. It's a turbulent time, and it's mm-hmm. very disconcerting.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like that's also why I feel really good for having been involved in the life of young people mm-hmm. for so long, you know, so that to be able to, you know, have those conversations and find out from them, you know, what are their perspectives on what's going on. Cool.
It was nice having you.
Thanks for having me.
I know you got to go because you're kids.
Yeah, they're at home.
Thanks,
and I
Erica.
Haven't had dinner yet, so it's my turn to eat.
Yes.
All right, Nick. See you at school tomorrow.
Oh. I'll see you Friday. I have something to do tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, Friday.
I don't want to say.
Inside joke, people. You will never know. So, moving on.
It was crazy this week. A lot of uncalled for stuff happened this week at school. Yeah,
going to school, man. You're graduating soon. That's what's exciting.
And it's like I'm actually on track to graduate.
Yeah, and just a few more weeks left.
13 weeks. 13 like 14.
Weeks. Yeah.
I mean, I'm graduating on June 15th, and my 18th birthday is June 16th.
That will be like
that's
the biggest
cool.
party week.
Oh, yeah. I was having a joke. I want to do it at the Tacoma Dome.
Okay.
There. That would be dope because that's like a big arena.
Yeah.
But cool. That's never going to happen.
So you've been busy this week conducting lots of interviews.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about those interviews and the one we'll play tonight with Mike Capes.
Well, I'm going to get to that one right after these ones just because it's the one that we're actually going to play. I actually have two interviews that I'm saving for next time with people that I actually grew up with. One is Tony. I mean, I grew up with Tony since kindergarten, and then I moved into the apartments that I'm in now, and we've been tight. Like, that's my brother. And so, and then Isaac.
What does Tony do?
Oh, he's a DJ. I actually get his SoundCloud or anything. Like, he beats everything. Just get at him. Isaac, I've known Isaac, too. So I was like second or third grade. So next show on the March 28th, we'll have those. But the interview that we're going to play today is Mike Capes. I don't know if everybody knows him. He's in North Portland. And we actually have a song of his to play, but this interview I got maybe like a week ago. And just ask him about his music and being an artist.
How hard was it to like reach out to him and like talk to him?
Way easier than I thought.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people sweat him. I mean, I see people trying to talk to, like, really, like, putting out his music and everything on Facebook, Instagram, everything. So, it's crazy. It was easy. Like, I messaged him on Facebook. He ended up giving me his number, talked to him, and then we set it up.
Yeah. You just said, I have a show on KBOO, and I want to have you on.
Yeah.
So, that opens doors.
Yeah.
That opens doors.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
see.
That's cool. So I'm looking forward to playing those interviews that you did with Isaac and Tony next week.
Isaac and Tony next week. Let's go to that interview with Mike Capes, and then we'll play one of his songs.
And then we'll play one of his songs.
So here it is.
Works.
Okay. So here it is, folks.
I'm gonna start out having you tell you who you are.
Right now? I'm Mike Capes, Portland, Oregon hip-hop artist. Coming out of St. John's, North Portland.
Your name Mike Capes, where did that come from? Your name Mike Capes.
Your name Mike Capes just derives from my real name. Instead of saying M-I-K-E, I did M-I-C. And my last name is Capels, but I grew up people calling me Capes. So I just ran with that, man. My music is personal, so I don't really like being called by a moniker. I like something that's more closer to my real name. So I ran with that one.
You ever wanted to change it?
Nah. I actually changed it from something. Yeah, you know, I had a name before.
All right.
It was Clips.
Clips?
Yeah, beforehand.
How long have you wanted to know that you've been rapping?
Well, I've been writing music since sixth grade, but it started with like poetry in fifth grade. Right. From sixth grade, it's just something I just took to and I got passionate about. And I say for my first performance in my sophomore years when I was like, yeah, I want to do this.
Have you always wanted to know that you wanted to write poems even before sixth grade?
I just think it was something that naturally came. I've always liked writing and reading. So it was something that just naturally came as a form of expression. It wasn't my first thing. My first thing was art, and then it was animals, football. Then was my first thing, then music.
You ever wanted to quit rap altogether?
Never, never. I think when you do something with a purpose in mind, and you don't feel like you can quit at it. It's just natural. It's like asking. I don't know. To me, it's like asking a fish if they ever wanted to quit swimming. You know what I mean? It's natural to me.
What's
I never think of quitting. I mean, I think people get into something like rapping and quit because they get into it for the wrong reasons, rather it's just about money or just being seen or just being recognized. That's not none of the reasons I like doing it, so.
What's inspired you to keep just pushing and just keep going?
It's my passion. Music is my passion, rapping is my passion, even more than that. Getting the message out to people and inspiring and motivating people is my biggest passion. I see it as if I got this gift, why waste it?
All right, yeah.
To help people.
Is there any rappers or artists that you would look up to or say they inspired you?
At the top of the list is Tupac. Tupac, I'd say DMX, Nas, Scarface, Ice Cube, Lupe Fiasco, the Hot Boys. A lot of people wouldn't think that, but the Hot Boys inspired me a lot. Outkast. Kendrick Lamar is dope. I'm inspired by a lot of cats, man. Tupac the most, though.
Alright. Your songs, what's your favorite song that you've led?
Favorite song that I've did? Damn, my favorite song. The one I'm most proud of is Black Pearls. Yeah, that's the one I'm most proud of. There was no cussing in that whole song. That's hard to do. Because I just write from the heart, so I write it how it come, and I wrote that song. There was no cussing in it. On top of that, well, the most important thing is the message behind it, is, you know, empowering black women. Because we live in a society that, you know, holds European beauty standards as the top and kind of pushes women of color to the side, you know. So I just wanted to empower, you know, black women.
All right. Is there something out there that you would, a message that you would like to give to your fans? People listening to you?
I mean, shit, whatever it is you want to do, go at it full steam, man. If it's your passion, don't let nobody tell you that you can't do it or you're not able to do it, man. At the end of the day, where you end up all comes from what you do, so put in the work.
All right, if there's one thing about rap today that you could change, what would that be?
What would I change? to me, there would be, I wish that radio stations would pick songs based on quality of music rather than the amount of internet buzz it has. Or just having more balance on the radio.
Yeah. All right, is there any upcoming projects, songs, anything that you want to let people to be on the lookout for?
Well, I got a show coming up for the Youth Summit on the 25th. Then after that, I have a show at Star Theater. This for Mogo Festival. I'll be headlining that. And I'm working on a couple projects right now, man. They're EPs. The next one I'm going to put out is going to be with my homeboy Dre Slaps, my DJ too. And it's going to be called Sheesh. You heard it first, man. All
right, man.
4-track EP.
All right. This is Nick Deasy and Mike Capes. Is anywhere, any your fans, any like anything that they can find your music on? SoundCloud?
You can find my music on iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Google Play, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, everywhere, man. Go get that album, Concrete Dreams, man.
All right, y'all. That was an interview with Mike Capes. We'll also have it posted on a website.
Yeah, the website is kboo.fm/keepinitreal. And it's just KEEPIN, it real, keeping it real. Okay, and so let's go to a song of...
This song is called No More. A lot of people, I feel, know this song because it was filmed in McCoy Park.
Yeah, it's a great song. Here it is.
Yeah, reporting live from the north side. Oh, yeah, yeah. Told my mama I'd take us out of the struggle. Told my father one day you won't have to hustle, you deserve a break. Told my brother to keep his hope, hoping these verses can't break the curse of remaining broke. Cause I've been writing these 16 since sixth grade, with the goal of making some big green, get a big name. I recorded my first track back in the 10th grade, and I'm still hungry as back then. Ain't this shit changed?
Just switched lanes and made a change for the better. Started telling my story instead of saying whatever. It's clever. Had to sever ties with guys I've known forever since Foursquare and Tetherball. But truth is, I'm better off. Set it off like Queen Latifah with cornrows. Ain't rich, but came a long way from torn clothes. Cause I remember losing heat, we used the oven stove. And I remember being homeless, sleeping on the floor. Ain't where I wanna be, but it could be worse. Long as my family is proud of me before I see dirt. No, we hurt, but I'm praying that this pen and pack can ease the pain. Can't wait till I can say, hey, mommy, you ain't gotta cry no more. And tell my daddy, you ain't gotta hustle no more. And tell my family, we ain't gotta struggle no more. Man, I'm waiting on the day till then. Soul of a senior citizen. Learned a lot from predicaments we was living in. Got evicted, my parents laid on the rent again. Never had much, so we resorted to pillaging the local stores and malls for anything we needed. Talking tennis shoes or draws, hit a lick and then repeated. We was rebels with a cause, undetected by the laws. Running through the summer to get fresher by the fall. I'm hoping this rhyming could take us from top rhyming to fine dining and stable housing. Pray I live to make an album. Could have been slanging yay on the cake, but I changed the outcome. Came from the slums, who'd have thought I'd come with the trace of Malcolm. This for them kids on free and reduced lunches. Still chasing their dreams from the veil out to the numbers. Don't let them say that you can't. Use your heart as a compass. Rather you in the rhyming, schooling, and shooting jumpers. I maneuvered through the manure and made a way. Far as this music is moving up by the day. But long as my parents is waiting on Section 8 and praying to set them straight, I never heard of a break. I murder records and tapes till nothing is in my way. Running up in the pace till sucker niggas deflate. Hey, I was born to get even with the odds. When I make it, dog, I'ma point my finger up to God and say, mommy, you ain't gotta cry no more. And tell my daddy, you ain't gotta hustle no more. And tell my family, we ain't gotta struggle no more. Man, I'm waiting on the day till then. Could you pray? Ay, mama, you ain't gotta cry no more. And tell my daddy, you ain't gotta hustle no more. And tell my family, we ain't gotta struggle no more. Man, I'm waiting on the day till then.
That was No More by Mike Capes. And could we get the number for people to call in?
Sure. If you are interested in calling in the last 10 minutes, 503-231-8187 is the number to call. So usually you and Aron talk about like the news that did not really make it into the mainstream. I don't really have... I mean, I guess the House Bill 610 hasn't really made it into the mainstream yet. Do you want to tell me why you thought... You want to talk about that?
Because my grandma sent it to me.
Cool.
And said that it would be a cool topic. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I don't really read into it a lot. I heard about it and I know like what it's going to affect a little bit.
Because it has like to do with school a little bit. And so, you know, it's a bill, which means it's not yet a law. You know, so they're trying to push for it, but it might not be that. But this is a bill that would actually repeal the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965 and limit the authority of the Department of Education to award block grants. So the idea is that pretty much it would be starting charter schools everywhere. So charter schools are kind of schools where you will get, or your parents will get a voucher. So they will get, here is like $10,000 that we want to invest in Nick's education. And you can pick whichever school you want to send Nick to. And so what that creates is a lot of competition, you know? So then you end up like having, you know, people that want to go to a certain school, and maybe, you know, schools will have to accept certain number of students from that particular area, but then you end up with, like, you know, people really having to go long distances to go to school, not being able to go in their neighborhood, but then most importantly, you know, it sets up a system where a lot of schools become private instead of being run by, you know, people who live in this city. Then, you know, it's run by just companies, you know, and these are companies that make money out of trying to teach kids. So yeah, it doesn't always work out. So that was that bill. But another thing that we wanted to talk about was actually around the athletes, because I know you're really into sports. I'm not into sports at all, but I'm into activism. And one of the reasons why I've never really been into sports is because I felt that there's always been a division. You know, like people have always said, if you're involved in sports, you cannot have political ideas. And especially you cannot use your platform as an athlete to say those things, you know?
Yeah, like Colin Kaepernick.
Right, exactly. Like lots of people are really mad at him because they say, you know, you should just get paid and just do the job that you're getting paid for and not make statements, you know? Yeah. And yeah, and so Kaepernick is a great example. And most recently there's, you know, Michael Bennett, who I know is one of your favorite athletes from Seattle, from the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And what he did was refuse to go to Israel. So this was like his team was going to go on a trip that the U.S. government was paying for to take the team to like Israel. And what he realized is that Israel has some policies around the Palestinians who are people that used to live on that land, that still do live on that land. And he looked it up and he found out that there's oppression going on and there's segregation going on, and that if he was to go to Israel, he could not go to the West Bank, for example, which is one area where Palestinians are segregated and can only live. Mm-hmm. And so he thought that was not right. And so he decided not to go. And I mean, his brother also, I heard, decided not to go to the White House to meet with President Trump. And for me, like, you know, these are things that I really value because, and I'm just wondering, like, what kind of impact this is having on you when one of the people, like, you're looking up to for maybe his sports abilities at first, but, like, now he's actually speaking up about how he feels. So I know you hadn't heard about what Michael Bennett had done, but, like, how do you feel just in general around athletes expressing their thoughts?
I think athletes is just us, other than they got more money, honestly.
They have ideas too, that means.
Yeah, they're us, you know. I feel, you know, we all think certain ways and have our certain beliefs, so they're going to too. And I know I support him doing that. I mean, I wouldn't want to go, like, with his beliefs, you know. I support him.
Mm-hmm. How does that... does that influence you at all, like, to know somebody you look up to has those ideas?
I look up to him standing with his beliefs. I mean, a lot of people just, oh, well, you know, that's a free trip, I get to travel. But, hey, you know, I support that. Like, I really like that because he's not going to just be pressured into going or go just because it's free. He's gonna go for his beliefs or when he wants to.
Right. And so how do you feel that for, like, the people who say, like, you don't have a right to express those beliefs when you're an athlete? I mean, I know you said, you know, we all have those ideas, but, you know, what people are pretty much saying is that you can have those ideas, you cannot use the field, or you cannot use your, you know, the stage as an athlete to express those beliefs.
I feel we shouldn't listen to their beliefs.
Right, that's a good point. I don't like your belief. I'm not going to listen.
I wouldn't listen to them. I wouldn't pay them no mind. I'll tell them, all right, and keep walking.
Yeah. That's what I've done, but at the same time, I feel like within the sports community, there hasn't been a whole lot of people stepping up, you know. I'm glad to see more people, but I feel, you know, since back in the 60s, 70s, you know, there was just more acts, especially at the Olympics, you know. People used to use the Olympics a lot for that.
Yeah, I know Colin Kaepernick. I mean, I support him not standing for the national anthem, but I support the way that, even though so many people were shaming him for that, he still did what he believed in was right. So I support that part of it.
Yeah, and I heard Michael Bennett talking about it actually recently, and he said that he was really amazed at what Colin Kaepernick had done, not just because of the act, but how it spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
And he said what was the most exciting about it all is that young people who make no money playing sports whatsoever, they all took a knee also.
And even South Park got on there and made an episode where the girls' volleyball team was sitting.
Really? I haven't seen that episode. I have to look for it.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, one thing that one person did affected probably a million people.
Right. That's right. And even if it didn't affect, like, it also affected all kinds of people who just saw it or heard about it, or, you know. And I think that it's really important because I think a lot of young people look up to folks like Colin Kaepernick also for, like, their abilities or for their success, you know. And so knowing that you can be successful while at the same time, you know, speaking up against, you know, in his case, police brutality and violence, I think it's really awesome.
Yeah.
So the last topic we wanted to touch on a little bit is immigration, you know, obviously because there's a lot going on and this definitely has made it into the mainstream. But I wanted to end maybe by playing a part of a song from Rebel Diaz called "I'm an Alien." You know, I'm an immigrant. I know part of your family also are immigrants, you know. I think that, you know, Aron also likes to talk a lot about this particular topic. I think these are times when all of us are really worried and afraid and concerned for our loved ones and our communities. Mm-hmm. So do you have any thoughts or that you want to share about that?
A lot of my friends, like their families, I know that they're not, you know, legal by the laws. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't feel anyone should be really marked as legal or illegal on land that
exactly
we're here to all live, you know. Like back hundreds of years, you know, was we really being outlawed from living in certain places?
Right. No.
No, I don't get it. So I don't feel people should really be legal or illegal, but I mean, I feel, you know, they're scared, and I know one of my friends was crying about it, like he was scared.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really whack to me.
Yeah, it is. So here's Rebel Diaz. We'll play his song, and then we'll come back and sign out for the night. So "I'm an Alien" is the name of the track.
feet, so I walk. If I can't eat, I'ma move till I find my piece of the pie, a dignified life. Wife and the kids deserve more than this. She waitress, he grave shift. Money keep on making it, bills keep on taking it. Spaceship ain't awaiting, but somehow I'm still an alien. Out of this world, outcasted, held captive by second class status. The factories closed, ain't no jobs at home. Wall Street broke, so they blame scapegoats. Jose not Joe, getting stopped by 5-0. How they become the border patrol? I don't know, but what I know is I'm here to stay. If they ask me for my papers, I'ma laugh and say.
Yeah, Rebel Diaz is his name. I'm an alien.
All right, it was, thank you for everyone who tuned in. I know my mom, my grandma, my grandpa tuned in, but also my three people that I know tuned in is Henry, Shay, and Zach.
Thank you all for listening. Hopefully to have you on sometime soon.
Yeah.
So we're back on the 5th Wednesday this month. What would be the date?
March 28th, and then we're also on like April 4th,
right.
April 5th.
So March 20th, tune in. It will be at 6 p.m. this time.
Wait, March 29th, y'all.
Oh, March 29th. Okay.
Don't sleep.
And keep it real, right?
Yeah.
Have a good week, everyone. Good month. Good night.
I reach beneath the skin of the street with each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box. Hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops off and I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off of the Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. Proletarians and wayward sons with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun, greeted by the scent of a bum smelling something.